الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, today is the 16th of Muharram 1434, which corresponds to the 30th of November 2012. It's a Friday morning here at the Jeddah Da'wah Center, and as promised, we'll be going over ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So let me first make sure that I have the English translation here before me. There we go. And we're ready to go. Bismillah. Okay, we're in business, brothers. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm for Allah, witnesses injustice, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. That is near, be just, that is nearer to righteousness, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what you do. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in his commentary on these ayat, أي يا أيها الذين آمنوا بما أمروا بالإيمان به قوموا بلازم إيمانكم. Meaning, all you who have been commanded to believe, you've been commanded to believe, be firm or stand up for what is a necessity of your iman. What is a consequence of your iman? What is a byproduct of your iman? Wa alaykum salam. That you are what? Bi an takunu qawwamina lillahi bil qist. That you stand firm for Allah with justice. Huh? Bi an tanshata lil qiyami bil qist harakatukum adh-dhahirah wal batinah. Interesting way to put it. Tanshat. What is it when say someone is nashit? هو رجل نشيط جدا. What does that mean? Active, energetic. Huh? He has a drive. So you should be active in standing up for justice. In what sense? حركاتكم, your movements, the very movements, the internal and the external, the inward and the outward. All of them should be motivated and driven towards justice. Subhanallah. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ الْقِيَامُ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا لِغَرَضٍ مِّنَ الْأَغْرَاضِ الدُّنْيَوِيَةِ. And that position of yours should be strictly for the sake of Allah alone, not for any other worldly objective, not for any other worldly benefit. وَأَنْ تَكُونُوا قَاصِدِينَ لِلْقِسْطِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْعَدْلِ. And that you should aim and strive for justice, for qist, which is equality, if we want to call it, which is really adil, justice, justice. Huh? No, qist, well, I mean, that's what they both mean, the same thing. Now, even here when they translate it, they say witnesses and justice. So it's just justice, just. But equality, equality may mean that, depending on the context. Because sometimes Islam is against equality. Right? Yes. Is Islam always for equality or against equality? Against equality. Not always, it depends. If you have children and you want to give them gifts, you need to have equality. But do you treat men and women the same? No. Because according to the West, equality, that you work with a woman the same way you work with a man, and you shake the hand of a woman the same way you shake the hand of a man, and blah, 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 blah. And we say there's no equality in Islam in this regard. We treat them differently. The same way the person who has some authority, the Amir, even if you go on a journey with three people and there's one Amir, you cannot treat him like the Ma'mur. He's the Amir of the trip. What he says you have to do, provided that it is halal. And that's just, it's an abandoned sunnah that when we travel, we appoint a person in charge. Otherwise, people differ a lot. I want this and I want that. One person is the one in authority. Now, you don't treat him equally with someone who's not in authority in this regard. على كل حال, العدل والقسط, the English word used for that is justice, as far as I know. والله أعلم. لا الإفراط ولا التفريط في أقوالكم ولا أفعالكم. إفراط and تفريط. Does anyone remember these two words? We learned them together, man. إفراط and تفريط. No, I wouldn't say that. أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله وإن كنت لمن الساخرين. This is in سورة الفرقان. No, سورة الزمر. على ما فرطت, فرط في جنب الله. تفريط is to be negligent. To be negligent. And إفراط is to go beyond the acceptable. Extremism, yes. Huh? Hey, where was I? في أقوالكم والأفعالكم, meaning neither be extreme nor be negligent in regards to your statements or your actions. وقوموا بذلك على القريب والبعيد والصديق والعدو. And maintain this levelness, this balance, this justice of yours with the near and the far, with the friend and the enemy. Cannot mistreat a person because he's an enemy of yours. Justice prevails. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ أَن يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ بُغْضَ قَوْمٍ. And do not let the hatred you have towards a people, عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا كَمَا يَفْعَلُهُ مَنْ لَا عَدْلَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَا قِسْطٍ, that will lead you to injustice, as it is done by those who have neither justice nor equity. When you say that, how about that? بل كما تشهدون لوليكم فشهدوا عليه. The same way you bear witness for your friend, your ally, then also bear witness against him, if it is required. فشهدوا عليه وكما تشهدون على عدوكم فشهدوا له. And the same way you bear witness again, or you testify against your enemy, testify in favor of him, if he is right. ولو كان كافرا أو مبتدعا, even if he were to be a disbeliever or an innovator, even if it's an innovator. And this is an area, bismillah, where many of those who follow this sect, the Salafiyya sect, which they've invented, in terms of the name, otherwise the manhaj of the Salafiyya is manhajul haqq, is the only methodology acceptable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the extremist among them who formed a group and have specific websites and so on and so forth, who will basically warn against anyone who is not in line with them, you either join them or you are off the manhaj, they're famous, I don't have to tell you much about them. They fail in doing this. The Shaykh is saying, even if a person is a mubtadi', you still have to testify for him or against him, depending on where the truth is. These people, if they hate someone whom they've labeled an innovator, they will stop at nothing, to destroy him, ignoring all of these elements of justice. All of these elements of saying the truth, whether it is for yourself or against yourself. They give themselves the excuse to go all out and to invent lies against someone and to attribute fabrications to that person, provided that they think they're doing a service for the deen of Allah by warning the Muslims from the evil of that person. And the examples are too many to enumerate. Now, some of them go to the extent of, يعني they don't want madhhabism, mashi. They don't want anyone to follow madhhab. Hanafi, Shafi'i. They were Hanafis and they abandoned the Hanafiya and now they became hardcore haters of Hanafis. So in a fatwa from the mashayikh, Wherein the Sheikh explained that concept of when do you follow a madhab and when do you blindly imitate an imam and so on and so forth, and depending on your level of knowledge and whether you're able to look into the dalil, blah blah blah, the whole thing. These people from that one group in Urdu, they came to the same fatwa, and they deliberately distorted the fatwa and gave a translation opposite to the one the Sheikh had. The Sheikh was saying that the person is told to, if he cannot find the dalil or something of the sort, then he just goes, he's allowed to follow the imam. He doesn't know. So he sought a fatwa, he goes with the fatwa. That very statement was translated into, he must go look for the dalil, he's not allowed to follow the imam. This is translation of the statements of the Sheikh from Arabic to Urdu. The opposite of what the Sheikh said, they put in there for their benefit, because to them this is halal. Why? Because they don't want the people to fall into blah blah blah, so now they lie against the Sheikh right in everybody's face. So those who know Arabic and Urdu, when they read the fatwa in Arabic, then read in English, they, what's going on here, man? This is not the same statement. And with individuals, they do the same thing. So the Sheikh was saying, even if we're not saying defend the mubtadi' and be in support of him, but if it is a matter where the mubtadi' was correct in regards to some matter of the deen and we were incorrect and we were to testify, we don't say, no, he was also incorrect just because he's a mubtadi'. So that means that leads us to injustice and lying. You still have to say the truth in this regard. Hey. فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ الْعَدْلُ فِيهِ وَقَبُولِ مَا يَأْتِي بِهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ إِبْنَ الْكَافِرِ, like the Sheikh said. So you have to then be just with this person and accept whatever he brings of the truth, even if it's a kafir. لِأَنَّهُ حَقْ لَا لِأَنَّهُ قَالَهُ, because that thing itself is the truth, not because he said it. Don't worry about the source, focus on the material, the content. If the content is sound, don't worry about who said it, accept the content. Not because the source is bad, but because the content is good. Hey. وَلَا يُرَدُّ الْحَقُّ لِأَجْلِ قَوْلِهِ, and you will never, and you should never reject the truth because it merely came from him. Because it happens to be a statement, that means I'm allowed to reject the truth. No, never are we allowed to reject the truth, irrespective of the source. فَإِنَّ هَذَا ظُلْمٌ لِلْحَقِّ, because this is now wronging the truth itself. You're wronging the truth by rejecting it because it came from the source which you don't like, or the wrong source, or the unreliable source. Nevertheless, Iblis advised Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to recite Ayatul Kursi every night before he sleeps. And he told him he will protect you from the shaitan until the morning. And Abu Huraira went to the Prophet ﷺ after he had that dream for a few days, and he would tell the Prophet ﷺ what happened. And he told him that this man whom I keep catching, you know, this and that, because he appeared to him in a shape, in a form of a man in his dream. He told me such and such and such. The Prophet ﷺ said, صَدَّقَقَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. He said, he has told you the truth even though he's a liar. He said, do you know who you've been seeing for the past few days? He said, no. He said, this is Iblis. So Iblis advised Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in one matter with the correct advice. Do you now reject the idea of reciting Ayat al-Kursi because it came from Iblis? No. What is important is what? The information is correct. The Prophet ﷺ acknowledged it. Iblis, la'natullah alayh. But the truth, I'm going to take it, even if it's from Iblis. Is that understood? Hey, I hope so. فَإِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, be just, this is closer to fairness or justice. To piety and righteousness, my bad. أي كلما حرصتم على العدل واجتهدتم في العمل به كان ذلك أقرب لتقوى قلوبكم. Meaning the more you're keen on justice and you strive in working with justice, that will be closer, that will be more likely that you will attain taqwa in your hearts. فإن تم العدل كملت التقوى. If عدل is perfected, if adl is fulfilled, then taqwa is perfected. So the more just you are, the more taqwa you have. Of course, this goes with wife or wives, and children, and neighbors, and everything. Dealing with them with justice, And when we're wrong, we have to say we're wrong. Many men think يعني, it's a sign of manhood to make a mistake, and then they don't back down. They don't admit, and khalas, you know, life goes on. No, not true. Make a mistake, apologize for the mistake, even if it's towards your children. Because they learn from you how to behave in this fashion themselves. When they make a mistake, they're not arrogant, prideful, say, no, abadan, I never make a mistake. They will also become like you. So, you know, there's no harm in that. Of course, you have to evaluate the situation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ فَمُجَازِيكُمْ بِعَمَالِكُمْ خَيْرِهَا وَشَرِّهَا صَغِيرِهَا وَكَبِيرِهَا جَزَاءً عَاجِلًا وَآجِلًا. That means Allah is well acquainted with what you do, meaning He will recompense you for your deeds, the good and the bad thereof, the small and the big, and it will be a recompense which is one which is hasty and one which is postponed. What does that mean? One which is hastened for you and one which is postponed. What does that mean? What does that mean? You'll be recompensed with a hastened reward or punishment and a delayed reward and punishment. Is in reference to this dunya and the life to come. That's what I'm saying. في الدنيا والآخرة. In this dunya. So the one that is hastened without the pen. Barakallahu fiqh. The one which is hastened is in the dunya, and the one which is delayed is in the life to come. Now which one should we prefer? If it's good, if it's ajr, akhirah. If it's punishment, now. Now. Get it over with. Because now you can handle it. Now, no matter what it is, you can handle it. It will never be beyond your ability. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not burden you more than you can handle. So no matter what it is, you can handle it. It's tough, you're in pain, you're blah, blah, blah. No problem, but we can still handle it. And the life to come, we can still handle it physically, but psychologically it will be much more agonizing, because it could be either eternity in hell. So even though the body is enduring the punishment, psychologically or mentally, you know you're never going to go out. That's a bad one. Or even if it's going to be for some duration of time, Allah knows how long of punishment before a believer is admitted to paradise. That's still much worse than whatever you will get in the dunya. Sahih? So that's why one of the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him, and he was skinny, on the verge of death. Looked like even the hadith described him as like a chick that is just with no feathers. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired about his condition. He said that I was making dua, oh Allah, whatever punishment you had for me in the life to come, bring it to me now. Bring it to me now. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He told him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَطِيقُ ذَلِكَ. You cannot, this is not something you can handle. Don't do this to yourself. Rather, say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَبَ النَّارِ. Ask Allah to give you both. Now, we're speaking about what we ask. We don't ask Allah, give us our punishment in dunya. We ask Allah for what? Forgive us. Huh? We don't want to deal with it, not now, nor in the life to come. But if it's beyond our, when we speak beyond our request, in terms of what would happen, or what is preferable for us to happen, then dealing with it in the dunya is much better for the believer. But we don't request that. We don't request that. As the Prophet ﷺ taught, ask Allah al-afiyah. Al-afu wal-afiyah. Naam. Now ayah number 9 and 10, ayat 9 and 10, read, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah promised those who believed and did righteous deeds that they shall have forgiveness and a great reward. And those who disbelieved and belied our signs, those are the companions of the hellfire. أي وعد الله الذي لا يخلف الميعاد. What does that mean, لا يخلف الميعاد? What does لا يخلف الميعاد mean?
He will do what he said.
He will do. He will do, but that's not what I mean. That's, yes, that's what the meaning means. But I'm looking for translation.
He won't break his promise.
أيوة. لا يخلف الميعاد from وعد. Allah does not break the promise. Does it come in the Quran?
Yes.
Where? It comes in Surah Al-Imran, right? إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. Also, and in maybe a couple of other places. حلو. وهو أصدق القائلين. So Allah promised, the one who neither breaks his promise, and he's the most truthful of those who say anything. The most truthful, Allah عز وجل. المؤمنين به وبكتبه ورسله اليوم الآخر وعمل الصالحات. That those who believe in him and his scriptures and his messengers in the last day. وعمل الصالحات, and they do righteousness. من واجبات ومستحبات بالمغفرة لذنوبهم وبالعفو عنها وعن عواقبها وبالأجر العظيم الذي لا يعلم عظمه إلا الله تعالى. الله أكبر. Those who do righteous deeds, be it of obligatory acts or recommended acts, that they shall be forgiven, their sins will be forgiven, and they will be pardoned, and that the consequence of their deeds also will be overlooked, and that they will be given a great reward. None knows the vastness of this reward except Allah. No one knows how great of a reward it is. فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. So no soul knows what has been hidden from it of the pleasure of the eye as a reward for that which they used to do. This is in Surah Al-Sajdah. Ahsan. Supposed to hear this every Friday morning, right? Right?
Sometimes.
You're supposed to, that's what I'm saying. The Sunnah.
No,
every Friday. The Sunnah is that I don't know of an evidence. Let's just say for this, I don't know of an evidence which suggests that you don't recite Friday every Fajr with the Imam. The Imam, not you. Yeah. If some of the scholars perhaps will say that he should occasionally leave it alone in order for the people not to think it's obligatory. But is it a real, highly recommended sunnah? Yes, the hadith are to the effect that Prophet ﷺ would recite it every Friday morning, every Friday Fajr. So, sajda an al-insan. And nowadays, we hardly ever hear them because they're considered lengthy compared to what the imams recite on average today. Sajda an insan take a while. They will take a good 20 minutes. The Fajr will take 20 minutes as opposed to the regular 10 minutes, which we are familiar with. And believe it or not, if the imam were to do this too often, people will complain. And therefore, maybe one of the reasons why the imams don't do it, I'm sure they probably have it memorized, not difficult to memorize it, but they're probably afraid that the people will, you know, stop coming on Friday morning because the salah is too lengthy. Wallah al-musta'an. Wallah al-musta'an. والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا الدالة على الحق المبين فكذبوا بها بعدما أبانت الحقائق. As for those who disbelieved and belied our ayat, the Shaykh said, the ayat which are directives and or which are directors towards the correct, the truth, the clear truth. So they belied it after it, the truth manifested, after the facts manifested before them. أولئك أصحاب الجحيم الملازمون لها ملازمة الصاحب لصاحبه. This is why you hear this particular word often. أصحاب الجنة, أصحاب الجحيم, أصحاب اليمين, أصحاب الشمال. صح? Don't you come across this often? Why? صاحب is your buddy, your companion. So the Shaykh said, they call أصحاب الجحيم الملازمون لها. Someone who يلازمك, someone who's stuck to you. Huh? He's with you all the time. So this person will be close or attached or tagged along Jahannam the same way the companion is tagged along with his companion. Same way they go together and come together and spend time together and eat together and so on and so forth. Ayah number 11. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ هم قوم أن يبسطوا إليكم أيديهم فكف أيديهم عنكم واتقوا الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. Let's read here. O you who have believed, remember the favor of Allah upon you. When a people determined to extend their hands in aggression against you, but He withheld their hands from you, and fear Allah, and upon Allah let the believers rely. The Shaykh said, يذكر تعالى عباده المؤمنين بنعمه العظيمة. Allah Azza wa Jal reminds His slaves, His believing slaves, of His great bounties. ويحثهم على تذكرها بالقلب واللسان. And He encourages them to remember these bounties with their tongues and their hearts. With their hearts and their tongues. وأنهم كما أنهم يعدون يعدون قتلهم لأعدائهم وأخذ أموالهم وبلادهم وسبيهم نعمة فليعدوا أيضا إنعامه عليهم بكف أيديهم عنهم ورد كيدهم في نحورهم نعمة. The same way you consider, the same way they consider that killing the enemy and taking over their wealth and their lands and their women is a bounty, then also consider the fact that Allah prevented them from having access to you. He blocked their hands, kept them away from you, and made their plot work against them is also a ni'mah from Allah. Which means whether you're granted victory in a sense that you are the on the offense or you're on the offensive, or whether you are on the defense and they are not given access to you, both are bounties from Allah. That they did not have any access to you. They couldn't harm you. As in which ma'raka or which battle? Waqa'atil. When did the Muslims, when were they protected from the disbelievers having access to them? Oh, come on guys. There's a surah, Surah Al-Ahzab. Al-Ahzab. What did they do? They dug a trench around the Medina. Around Medina, and then winds and different things Allah Azza wa Jal sent from the junud of Allah, from the natural junud of Allah, they came and the people went back on, they couldn't have access to the Muslims. That's an example of that. Surah Al-Ahzab. Ishfi. Ay. نعم فإنهم الأعداء قد هموا بأمر وظنوا أنهم قادرون عليه. These enemies had already, they had their mindset to do something to you. And they thought they had the ability over it. They had full control. فَإِذَا لَمْ يُدْرِكُوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقْصُودَهُمْ فَهُوَ نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِعْبَادِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So if they wind up not being able to fulfill that objective of theirs, this is automatically considered a victory for the believers. يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ أَنْ يَشْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَعِبُدُوا وَيَذْكُرُوا. They should be thankful to Allah for that, and they should worship Him and thank Him. And remember him, afwan. وهذا يشمل كل من هم بالمؤمنين بشر من كافر ومنافق وباغ وكفى الله شره عن المسلمين. This includes every person who intends any harm towards the believers, from amongst the disbelievers and the hypocrites and any transgressor. And Allah Azza wa Jal prevents his evil against the Muslims. So this is included in all of the above. All of these. When Allah Azza wa Jal protects a believer from that harm, this is a ni'mah from Allah which he should be thanked and remembered and so on and so forth for. فَإِنَّهُ دَاخِلٌ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. It's included in this ayah. ثُمَّ أَمَرَهُمْ بِمَا يَسْتَعِنُونَ بِهِ عَلَى الْإِنْتِصَارِ عَلَى عَدُوِهِمْ وَعَلَى جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِمْ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal directed them towards that which they can use as means for them to be victorious over their enemies. And in all of their affairs, فَقَالَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And upon Allah alone let the believers rely. أَنْ يَعْتَمِدُوا عَلَيْهِ فِي جَلْبِ مَصَالِحِهِمِ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. So rely upon Allah to bring about the religious and the worldly benefits. وَيَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ وَقُوَّتِهِمْ. And you should free yourself from relying on your own will and your own power or strength. ويثقوا بالله تعالى في حصول ما يحبون. And they should trust, put their trust in Allah that they should get what they love. وعلى حسب إيمان العبد يكون توكله. And depending or proportional to the level of faith of the believer will be the level of reliance. So the more iman, the more tawakkul. The less iman, the less tawakkul. وهو من واجبات القلب المتفق عليها. And it is among the requirements of the heart which has been agreed upon. That everybody has to have this home of reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal in this regard. Hello? So, is that clear? Some of you, you know, your faces look disturbed when we speak about the matters of, you know, fighting and the disbelievers and taking their wealth and their children and their wives and so, you know, the women and everything. Y'all still have this element of Western brainwashing running through your brains, I guess. And if you do have an issue in this regard, yani, I would really like to address it head on. We have to reach a point, ikhwan, where we are totally, totally comfortable and upon yaqeen in what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed. This is not a matter that this negates iman, because iman requires yaqeen. And anyone who doubts anything which Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed, or its validity, or whether it is based on wisdom, is playing around with kufr. This is not something that we can take lightly. This is not something that our hearts should have any issue with whatsoever. This is from the clear matters of the deen. That this is what Allah promised the believers ever since He created Adam until the end of time. This is not something that is specific to the Muslims or the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All believers at all times were given this privilege of fighting in the cause of Allah and being supported by Allah and taking over the war booty of the enemies. But except at their time, it will be burnt. So Allah will send fire from the sky which will consume it, and it was made halal for the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salam. This is the way Allah deals with the believers in the dunya. The same way He promised them eternal paradise and He promised the kuffar eternal hell, He promised them in this dunya privileges over the disbelievers, because the most important thing is belief versus disbelief. So no one should think how come and why and this is too much and da 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 da. No, this is normal. You're a believer. That's what Allah has for the believer. You're the elite. You're the VIP in the sight of Allah. And in the worldly dunya, people are not treated the same. You don't treat the president of a country like the garbage man. You can't. On all levels, you can. Not in the way you speak, not in the way you address them, not in the way you treat them, not in the way, nothing. Everybody, two different worlds. Both of them are human beings. They have the same organs, same thing. But their worldly position, which is strictly based on materialism, has made a huge gap between them and the sight of regular human beings. So then what is so shocking that Allah will have all these privileges for the believers in Him over these, all of these other things for the disbelievers in Him? Nothing. Normal. We do it every day and everything else is normal. So this is normal that you hear and read that yes, this is a ni'mah from Allah that they're given victory over the disbelievers and that they are victorious and that they take on such and such. This is the al-bushra al-ajila lil-mu'min. This is the glad tidings early on for the believer. And what Allah prepared in life to come is even greater. Huh? And then if anyone from among them want to complain, then we can take them back to their scriptures and show them similar teachings. We can show them similar teachings from the very Bible or from the very, very scripture. So it's nothing that we have invented as Muslims. Aywa. Now this ayah is lengthy. Ayah number 12. We can deal with it, inshallah. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ اثْنَا عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لأكفرن عنكم سيئاتكم ولأدخلنكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار فمن كفر بعد ذلك منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل. The next ayah, subhanAllah, the next ayah is like an answer to whatever I was speaking about earlier. Huh? It's like perfectly placed, subhanAllah, just to re-emphasize what I mentioned to you seconds ago. And Allah had already taken a covenant from the children of Israel, and we delegated from among them 12 leaders. And Allah said, I am with you. If you establish prayer and give zakah and believe in my messengers and support them and loan Allah a goodly loan, I will surely remove from your misdeeds and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow. But whoever of you disbelieves after that has certainly strayed from the soundness of the way. So this is the promise of Allah to Bani Israel before us Muslims. You do your job and I will support you. You don't do your job and you will be humiliated. So it's the way of Allah with Bani Adam. Nothing new. The Shaykh said, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ أَخَذَ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْمِثَاقَ الثَّقِيلِ الْمُؤَكَّدِ. Allah informs us that He took over Bani Israel, or he took with Bani Israel, or he gave Bani Israel this covenant, الثقيل, the heavy, المؤكد, the emphasized. يعني it was a strong covenant. وذكر صفة الميثاق وأجرهم إن قاموا به وإثمهم إن لم يقوموا به. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the type of covenant it is, and He mentioned the reward associated if they were to fulfill the covenant, and the sin if they were not to. ثم ذكر أنهم ما قاموا به. Then Allah already mentioned that they did not stand up, they did not fulfill the covenant. وذكر ما عاقبه به. And Allah mentioned what He punished them with. فقال وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَيَ عَهْدَهُمْ مُؤَكَّدُ الْغَلِيدِ. As we mentioned earlier, that covenant, the emphasized, the thick, the strong. وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبًا أَيْ رَئِيسًا وَعَرِيفًا عَلَى مَنْ تَحْتِي. So 12 leaders were assigned and delegated. Each one was responsible for those under him. لِيَكُونَ نَاظِرًا عَلَيْهِمْ حَاثًا لَهُمْ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ بِهِ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ بِمَا أُمِرُوا بِهِ مُطَالِبًا يَدْعُوهُمْ مطالبا يدعوهم. That doesn't make sense. Meaning he is a president or a director or a leader under those who are beneath him, looking over the affair and encouraging them to fulfill what they have been commanded, requiring them to carry out the commands. وقال الله للنقباء الذين تحملوا من العباء ما تحملوا إني معكم. And Allah said to those leaders who had to carry these burdens, Allah said to them, I am with you. أي بالعون والنصر فإن المعونة بقدر المؤونة. Meaning I'm with you in terms of aid and assistance, because the aid is proportional to the burden. The more you have responsibility, the more aid you will get from Allah تبارك وتعالى. ثم ذكر ما وثقهم عليه. Then Allah mentioned the type of covenant. فقال لئن أقمتم الصلاة. What is the covenant? If you establish the salah ظاهرا وباطنا بالإتيان بما يلزم وينبغي فيها والمداومة على ذلك. By fulfilling the salah, establishing salah outwardly and inwardly, by doing what it necessitates and what is obligatory, and being persistent and consistent in doing so. وآتيتم الزكاة لمستحقيها. And you give the zakah to those who deserve it. وآمنتم برسلي جميعهم. And you believed in all of my messengers. الذي أفضلهم وأكملهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The one who is the best, the most virtuous and the most perfect among them is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعزرتموهم أي عظمتموهم. And you venerated them. وأديتم ما يجب لهم من الاحترام والطاعة. And you carried out what is rightly theirs in terms of respect and obedience. وأقرضتم الله قرضا حسنا وهو الصدقة والإحسان الصادر عن الصدق والإخلاص وطيب المكسب. Which is basically giving sadaqah and excellence, which are which emanate from truthfulness and sincerity and lawful earning. فإذا قمتم بذلك. If you do all of that, لأكفرن عنكم سيئاتكم ولأدخلنكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. I shall expiate or pardon or overlook your misdeeds, and I shall admit you to paradise beneath which rivers flow. فجمع لهم بين حصول المحبوب بالجنة وما فيها من النعيم واندفاع المكروه بتكفير السيئات. So Allah mentioned the two things which are dear to us: attaining that which is beloved, which is Jannah, and what it contains of delight, and the taking away of that which is hated, which is the by Allah Azza wa Jal expiating the sins. And وَدَفْعُ مَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعُقُوبَاتِ, and taking away what it necessitates of punishment. فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, so whoever disbelieves after that, الْعَهْدَ وَالْمِيثَاقَ الْمُؤَكَّدِ, meaning the one who disbelieves in the covenant, which has been emphasized, بِالْأَيْمَانِ وَالْإِلْتِزَامَاتِ, and it was emphasized by many oaths and many promises, المقرون بالترغيب بذكر ثوابه, which was coupled with the ajr, with the encouragement about the ajr associated with it. فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, he has went off the soundness of the way. I said, I like the way they put that. عَنْ عَمْدٍ وَعِلْمٍ, meaning he has done so on purpose and after having knowledge. فَيَسْتَحِقُّ مَا يَسْتَحِقُّهُ الضَّالُونَ, so this person, we ask Allah to protect us, is deserving of what the deviators or the deviants deserve. مِنْ حِرْمَانِ الثَّوَابِ وَحُصُولِ الْعِقَابِ, he deserves to be prevented from getting any reward and from him having to deal with the punishment. So inshallah, with that we conclude the dars. And upcoming, we'll be dealing with some very interesting discussions and qualities of the Yahud, which we are seeing today. Yahud, we are seeing them today, what they're doing in Palestine. We will see some of their historical, ancient qualities, which haven't changed over the passage of years. And this is a permanent quality imprinted in them, wal'iyadhu billah. So inshallah, that will be dealt with next week, and then we'll jump into the discussion about Jesus and Christians. Very important for those who are involved in da'wah to the Christians. So look out for that, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.